Hello and welcome to Barely Partisan. I can't believe January 2025, the longest year ever, is finally over. Happy Black History Month. We're still allowed to say that, right? I am one of your co-hosts, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Selena.
Hello, my name is Selena, co-host of Barely Partisan. And Shannon, to your point, yes, we are still allowed to say that, at least for now, right? Just a little disclaimer before we get started. All statements made on this podcast are attributable to the co-host and do not reflect the opinions of their employers, family, friends, frenemies, enemies, anything else we can think of.
Thank you, Selena.
So welcome. Yeah.
So we're not even 2 weeks into post-Biden America, and the chaos and crazy has become exponentially worse since our last episode. It's so bad, we decided to postpone our original topic for this week and do a follow-up to our politics versus government episode, because what's going on at the federal level is crazy.
Honestly, Shannon, that's you putting it very nicely. And I am going to agree with you. This has been the longest January I can actually remember. And I guess we should say that we are recording on the first day of February, which last night I thought, what the hell are we going to wake up to February 1, right?
Right.
Because as to your point of it being chaotic and crazy, it's batshit insanity, right? On top of the incompetence and cruelty distinction between politics and government. And it's on full display for us and the world to see. And let me tell you, it is not pretty. We are living, yes, I am saying this, and again, my statements do not reflect all of the folks I've already said in the beginning, but we are living in the actual worst case scenario. And unfortunately, it's probably going to get much worse before it gets any better.
And it's absolutely going to get worse before it gets better. You can tune into our previous episode for our discussion about the differences between politics and government, including definitions and examples that we use to illustrate the differences. This week, we want to build on that conversation by dissecting the impact of the first 2 weeks of the new president, quote unquote, term and party control of all three branches of the federal government. We want to dive into a more practical conversation because shit's crazy, and it's only February 1st. We have a long way to go in 2025.
Yes, we do. There's so much to unpack. Again, happy to be recording this podcast in real time so that one day we can look back at this time and we actually have documentation of what the hell was going on. So I think that as frustrating and almost comical at times.
Right. Comical, like ridiculous, not haha funny, but what the fuck funny.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't believe it. It would be so unbelievable. Hollywood would never greenlight this because it's too unbelievable.
That part right there. Exactly. So let's just dive into this. Let's unpack some of the stuff. And as you stated in our previous episode, we made the distinction between the functional nature of government and how it was a mechanism to implement public policy and distribute resources and services directly, where politics are more like the gears that make the machine of government move, or in some cases, not move.
Right. As we look at all of this, it's important to take a step back and just think about the sheer scale of what's been happening since the inauguration, the rapid fire barrage of executive orders that may or may not be within the authority of the office of the president, this shock and awe strategy that really feels like it's used to distract and overwhelm us, and especially those who don't support the current administration, and some shallow appeasement to the people who support the president and anything he does. According to the Federal Register, the current president has signed 45 executive orders since he was sworn in. Hasn't even been in office for 2 weeks.
It was all on beginning January 20th. 20th. Correct?
Not even January 1st, January 20th. And second, just the havoc that's been wrought over federal agencies and federal workers, including the unilateral freezing of federal funds, which sent states into a tizzy, And they're like, oh, it's not going to impact Medicaid. And states are like, are Medicaid not working? It's been crazy. I've been following news articles from outlets that I find credible, a list that is shrinking daily. And it's overwhelming. And I think that's the point of this strategy. And lastly, before we move on, just the infiltration of somebody who contributed a lot to this current president's election victory, having just carte blanche without any vetting, any confirmation, any real authority provided to him.
Mm-hmm. And
a little scary. You know, and there's been reports of the owner of Twitter/X hiring people who used to work for him and allegedly fucking with sensitive information. So while there's definitely more to discuss and a lot more that's gone on in these 2 weeks, I think these three examples in the context of our discussion about politics versus government, this is pure grade A politics. The worst partisan politics I've seen in a long time, because you have members of the legislature, the legislative branch, and the House and the Senate that are the same party of the president, essentially abdicating their responsibility to be a check on the executive branch, which again, purely political. So as we dive into the discussion, I just wanted to touch on those few points because they helped frame this discussion that we wanted to have as a part two to the difference between politics and government.
Yeah, I would agree. It's on full display for everybody to see, the whole world to see. And to the point of the intersect of politics and government, again, we couldn't have imagined this lining up. And I know, again, batshit crazy, but I'm just saying, never in a million years would we have thought we were at this moment where we're actually talking about things in real time. Like it's happening right before our very own eyes. And
right.
I don't think people realize what executive orders do or
right.
how they impact your everyday life, because this is another part of the government, right? Or mostly government, right? That actually has a direct impact. And so just real quick, just to give a definition context about, let's just start off, like what is an executive order, right? An executive order is a state mandatory requirement for the executive branch and have the effect of law. They are issued in relation to a law passed by Congress or based on the powers granted to the president in the Constitution and must be consistent with those authorities. The president of the United States manages the operations of the executive branch of government through executive orders. And after a president has signed the executive order, the White House sends it to the Office of the Federal Registry. And people are curious because there's so much information out there. Some of it is misinformation. What can you do to stop an executive order, right? That's done by the courts. The courts can decide if these executive orders are unconstitutional. And I think for some of the big executive orders that this administration has put forth and this man has signed, I think we're all kind of holding our breath and hoping that our judicial system will step up. There's two that seem to be the most challenging for us. The first one is the executive order on immigration surrounding the 14th Amendment. And also, who comes up with these titles? Because the next one is defending women from gender ideology, extremism, and restoring biological truth to the federal government.
The anti-trans one.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of words for bigotry.
Literally, we can't make this up. And so when I look at the executive orders, these two in particular, it just rings so many bells for me. And I don't care what this man has said about him knowing nothing about Project 25. Read, like, skim some of that and then look at these executive orders.
It's exactly what they wanted. He was lying. I'm not surprised at all.
Right.
I blame voters
yes.
didn't show up because his base was never going to leave him. I blame the mm-hmm. press for not pressing more about this and informing people on what this really was and how these folks could latch on to this administration and infiltrate it with their bullshit.
Right.
People were screaming it from the rooftop. Then all he had to say was, I don't know what that is. You're lying. He let people
right,
in your campaign. So I'm not surprised at all.
There is one other executive order, the diversity and inclusion. That one as well is like hits home. And the executive order surrounding DEI breaks me because in the sense that, how do I say this? Voters. I'm going to go to voters and I'm going to tell you this one particular story. So I had a friend who decided to vote for this man. And this friend is Black, worked high up in an executive position. He had his reasons as to why to vote. And I'm like, okay, sir, that sounds great. But when that executive order came out, I called him and I said, what do you feel about this? Because also part of his story was that he was saying that he's very frustrated at work because people in management roles don't look like him in terms of color. And I said, okay. And then he said, but also there are some individuals that look like me and that's great. And I want to climb that ladder. And I said, well, why do you think that is? Right. So we had this whole conversation around it. And now come out with this executive order. I said, hey, do you feel bad or guilty or do you feel remorseful for voting for this man? I said, because you know what's going to happen. Now that you remove this, you guys have given him the free rein to say, I can do whatever the fuck I want and nobody is going to challenge me. So when you start to see people in positions that don't look like you and they get demoted, you guys gave them the reason to do that. You gave them the path to do that because if they have an executive order that's basically saying you can't take this into account, having diversity in all levels, what makes you think that now you're not going to see people that like look like you getting demoted or getting reassigned? I don't want to hear anybody bitching that voted for this man. I do not want a single word about how bad it is at work and how you're not able to climb the ladder and you're not given the opportunity. You're not sitting in the room nor at the table. You're not even outside the door. You're across the street. I don't want to hear you say jack shit about it because this man told you what he was going to do and you still voted for him. I can't help you on that, right? And so when I'm looking at these executive orders, and I try to remember the Biden administration, even the Obama administration, I mean, some of the executive orders, I feel like it was never played out in the media the way this is being played out. And I think that now it's becoming a reality that people don't really understand the real impact on your life in terms of the members you choose to govern you, like the individuals, like how does that, how is that direct link, work? And for some Americans, this is the first time they're actually seeing it the way we see it. But you have to educate people because I feel like some people, and maybe I'm wrong, I feel like people think executive orders are a fucking brand new thing.
Right. They've never heard. Presidents issue them, right? Biden issued them before he left. But it's like the scope of these and what they're saying with them. And I think it's important. The wording is important, too, because I found the anti-diversity, equity, and inclusion one. The title is Ending Illegal Discrimination and Restoring Merit-Based Opportunity. And so that says a lot about how they think of it, right? The assumption is that if you have a program that promotes diversity, equity, and inclusion, that it's not merit-based. That's the perception.
Yeah.
What they want people to believe. So even within it, it uses the Civil Rights Act to basically against people of color, the people who needed the act to protect them, and quote, illegal, quote unquote, DEIA policies not only violate the text and spirit of our longstanding federal civil rights laws, they also undermine our national unity as they deny, discredit, and undermine the traditional values of hard work, excellence, and individual achievement in favor of unlawful, corrosive, and pernicious identity-based spoil system. Are you fucking kidding me? It's offensive, but they're telling on themselves, right? Because one, they don't know what DEI programs are. And two, the idea that if people increase the competition pool, that if you are a person of color, and let's be clear, they use it more against Black people than anything. Mm-hmm. But if you are a person of color in general, Black specifically, and there's a DEI program at your organization, you're in any position of power, they're going to, one, assume you got there because of preference and not merit.
Mm-hmm.
Most Black people of color know you have to be twice as smart, twice as good, just to get half of what anybody else has. Shout out to Papa Pope from Scandal.
Yes. I know. Where is Olivia Pope?
That bitch is in Vermont.
I'm making her jam. Well, I need her to get out of her jam era. Is B16?
B13. I'm actually rewatching it now.
Are you?
Yeah. But like the idea, and this is, they did the same for affirmative action. The racists who believe these things, because it's not all white people. It's not all people of color, because some ops are within our own communities. Let's be clear.
Right.
People who think that anybody who they think is beneath them didn't earn their place if it's higher than them, if it's more important than them. And whether they call it DEI, whether they call it affirmative, they always use anything that was designed to address racial discrimination, that kept people of color, that kept women, that kept disabled people, LGBTQ folks, veterans, out of places to give them an opportunity, then all of a sudden, it's not quote-unquote merit-based.
Well, right. I don't know how much the public knows these things, but this executive order reverses a 60-year-old executive order.
Right.
Like, this has been in place for 60 years.
Yep.
And with a single stroke,
that's
this
how
man
fragile
is like,
this stuff
never mind.
Is. Yeah, that's like, how fragile. I feel like this is a big stress test for our democracy, because precedent, as the Supreme Court demonstrated, precedent doesn't mean shit. They came in and got rid of Roe almost immediately.
Immediately.
So clearly precedent doesn't mean anything. So the things that we've relied on in our institution, that people would actually have integrity and value these things, we can't count on that anymore.
No. And again, remember I mentioned sometimes the only hope that we're holding on to is that our judicial system will read these for what they are and challenge it. But then also, this is the same individual that we allowed to staff the court system.
Right.
So, I mean, we are fighting our own democracy within our democracy. And again, I know we were going to touch a little bit on the Constitution, but are we in a crisis?
I legit went back and was like reading the Constitution. I'm like, what is happening? Maybe I don't understand some things. But no, part of it is because we have somebody in the presidency who doesn't care about the law, who's like, I'm a fuck around and find out, and I dare you to challenge me. You have members of his party in Congress who are in charge of both houses, who have abdicated their responsibility to be a check on these branch. So the combination of those two alone, we can't count on the Supreme Court for anything, because they've set a precedent that the president can basically do whatever he wants with immunity if it's a quote unquote presidential act. So we can't count on them to be a check on the executive. We can't count on the legislature. The only thing we have are the states who will file lawsuits.
We live in a state that we are taking on the administration, right?
Absolutely. And shout out to the Attorney General Bonta.
Yeah. And right now I've always been proud to live in California, but I feel so much more about that right now, because we're actually taking measures to fight this administration and the shit that they're trying to shove down our throat.
Right.
And again, I know our state has its issues, right?
We got our blue state problems.
At least I feel like February 1st, I feel this, that our state legislature are actually coming together on some of these issues, right? I mean, we can't count on the Republicans so much. Collectively, I think our legislative leaders know we have a problem, right? And how to protect Californians. And I know that we're in this early state of our legislative season. And if for those that are listening and don't know, California legislature is a full-time job. We're not a part-time legislature. So we're rolling into what we consider our bill introduction. And you're seeing some bills being introduced that go directly after what this administration is trying to tear down. We're putting safeguards in place to make sure that Californians are safe and they're protected. And that does speak volumes. And by the way, a little update on the wildfires, that they are all 100% contained.
Yes.
As of yesterday.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And out the firefighters in LA County and from Mexico and Canada and all the first responders who helped put that out.
Yes, exactly. So California is dealing with a lot right now, but actually say that I feel good about our role and our responsibilities, but it's a fucking throwdown every time. We had this president come visit California, I think last week, met with the governor, and you would think he would say something enlightening, something positive. No, he signed an order to turn our water on, which I don't know what the fuck that means. I don't understand why he thinks we don't have water. I mean, we right. do have the water crisis, but that's your messaging.
He fails to rise to the occasion at every opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at with all of this. I can't believe that people are surprised that we're actually in this moment. And again, we looked at a candidate. He had a platform. He told you what he was going to do.
Literally.
And again,
he literally gives you nothing, but he validates right. the hatred you have for whatever group of people you blame for your problems.
Right. And on this podcast, we're barely partisan because you know what? This is also the fault of the Dems. Where the hell are you? Where the hell were you? What were you doing? It's all of our fault to some degree, right? I mean, we ran. We're not going to get into that, but.
You can go there. I could go there. I'm going to go there because
I know,
we know it's about to be performance. People like to bring that up. However, circle mm-hmm. the fucking wagon, right? I've talked about this with so many people. And I get it. The vice president did what she could. She only had 107 days.
7 days, yeah.
Thank her for going through that crazy for the ticket. But to me, there were people within the party who were mad mm-hmm. that Joe Biden didn't do one term. And rather than just having the balls to challenge him in the fucking Democratic primary, pull a slick one after the primary is over before the convention and had the mm-hmm. money threatened to take Joe Biden out. And again, this is just my opinion as a voter from what I nope. observed. I am not an insider by any stretch of the imagination. This is what I saw and what I thought as a voter, because it seemed coordinated. All the articles that came out, all the, oh my God, donors aren't going to support the House races if Biden doesn't sit down. Biden's old. Biden's this. Biden's that. None of that for Trump.
No.
Biden steps down and I was pissed. Mm-hmm. And I was concerned because anybody that came at that point in time was going to have a hard time. So
no matter what, yep.
the president was able to do in such a little bit of time, I applaud it. I hope she has whatever right. she wants in the future, whether that's to run again or not. She's done her part. We as voters failed to do our part.
Yes. And again, and I think
first base was always going to show up for him.
Correct. And that's where I'm shifting the winds, where we say, what can we do now, right? Hello, we have an election in 2 years. Granted, we're not going to get rid of this man, right? We're stuck with him
for four years.
But can we take back the House? Are we lining folks up now? Because the only way you can challenge this presidency is if you have skin in the game. And we don't have skin in either House at this point, really, right? And so how do we challenge this if we don't have the numbers in Congress? But I'm hoping that the political masterminds are looking at some of these seats that maybe we can win. Mm-hmm. You know, there has to be a strategy out there for them. I mean, seriously, can't be the smartest person in the room thinking of this.
I don't know about that electoral stuff. Yeah. Y'all got the campaign stuff figured out. But as a voter, as just an observer, get your shit together. Yeah. But also, again, we are barely partisan because we will call out both parties, but we're not nonpartisan. So parties will get this work. I'm calling out Republicans, too, because you have a responsibility to do your fucking job. And your job is to not do what he wants. Well, I am for Republicans who will be impacted if he screws with Medicaid or SNAP or Social Security or veterans benefits. Those are not red and blue state issues. Those are American issues. Those are American issues that help Americans live and feed their families, right? And stay a roof over their head. And I get it. You're a Republican. You vote for Republicans. Great. Y'all have primaries too. Stop electing people who don't care about our government, who don't want a government, who just want to turn it over to private interests, who don't give a shit about you, and frankly, aren't all that great at keeping their own businesses together without government.
Yes.
SpaceX.
No.
Tesla.
Yes.
Let's keep it real.
If you watched, I'll admit, I didn't watch the inauguration, but was clips, obviously, I think. But if you saw who was sitting behind this president.
A bunch of billionaires, which is purely politics. That is not government. That is politics. And the worst kind, because it's all about the money. Again, the Democrats have the money problem, too, because they let the money punk butt Joe Biden off the ticket. That's the
perception. They did.
The reality is, I look forward to whoever writes the book first and spills all the tea. But that's the perception.
Right.
And then you have Elon Musk running amok with his hands all up in the federal government personnel management office, and he's all up in Treasury. What is he doing, and why are you letting him do it? How is that okay for either party? Because it was some billionaire that the Republicans like to say funds Democrats. If it was their people doing it, they'd be having fucking fits.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I hope the Dems get off the fucking sideline.
Speak up and challenge what they're doing.
And hold them accountable, right? I wonder what is really going to break this. I can't imagine these Republicans just sitting around saying, this is cool. This administration has our back. We're doing everything right. Like, I can't really believe that. They're afraid of this man. And a lot of it is because he threatened, hey, you're going to be up for re-election soon.
I'm going to primary you.
Yep. And I'm going to run somebody to run you the hell out of town.
Some of them are scared. Some of them believe exactly in what he's doing and are locked up with him. But the ones who don't, I get it. They're scared. And running for office is expensive. So if you have these deep-pocketed billionaires who are going to fund opponents to people who disagree with you, I get it. But if that's the only motivation for you being here, then what do you do? You don't need to be here. What do you do?
Exactly.
But again, I also put that on voters, because you're a Republican voter. You have a choice in a primary. If you're only supporting people who support what this president is doing, then you can't complain about the impact when it affects you. And I don't know, maybe it will take it affecting them in ways that they don't understand yet, but it shouldn't have to get that bad.
It shouldn't, but this is the moment we're in, right?
Right.
And
only going to get worse.
And so it's one of those things that I think it's been a very, very long time where the everyday person is actually being fed political information, wherever they get their news from. But I feel like the everyday person is more engaged right now in this moment, because there is real possibility that everything that is being done at the federal level is going to directly impact their day-to-day life.
Right.
Not wildly in the future. It's present day. And some of these executive orders, like, he has a timeline within 30 days, within 20 days. It's a fast track. And so these executive orders really do have real consequences. And let's not talk about how he removed us from the World Health Organization.
My God.
Which, I'm sorry.
That's scary.
I'm sorry. Is there a flu going around right now?
COVID never really went away. Tuberculosis is popping up.
What I'm saying is, these have real impact. You know, do people know what the World Health Organization does? You know, it's not made of like a bunch of like just random Joe Schmoes that say, hey, I think I know medical words and terminology. No, it's an organization that is vetted. It's credible. They have the science. They have the facts. These are the smartest people
in the world.
Like a world.
Trying to keep people alive, literally. And this president had the United States back out of that.
It's a batshit moment that we're in. But part of me is like, okay, we have to be in this moment, and maybe it will really make people think about the choices they make or don't make when they go to vote.
Right. This also, is an example of your politics fucking up your government.
Exactly. And also, I think bring it more close to home, but I hope that parents stay engaged, going to school board meetings, challenging some of the policies that are happening, right, at the school board level. I mean, you can start minimal right now and just being engaged, because we're at a state where we know what the next fucking 4 years are going to look like. And right. We better buckle up.
The red flags have red flags at this point.
Yep. And that's flag it.
In the play. So, rough in the passer, like all the things. I miss football. All sorry.
Yes, you do. And there's a lot of intentional grounding, just to let right. you know. So, Shannon, where do we go from here?
Canada? I don't know.
I mean, seriously, right? Trump's blizzard of executive orders has exhilarated his base, right?
Oh, yeah. They're excited politics. They're excited because politics, because he preached that he would do all these things to these people, but they don't understand how it's going to impact government and directly impact them and the government services they rely on, whether they care about it or not.
Exactly. And again, they want to get excited about this man because he's showing proof by doing all of this that he's steamrolling our quote unquote deep state, right? He's fulfilling his campaign promises.
As shallow as they were. Yeah. Right.
And what do we do from here? I think everybody just really needs to lean in and do what you can in terms of being active again, whether it's at the local level or start really paying attention to the things that this man is saying, and then figure out what that means for you.
And reading the executive orders for yourself. Don't necessarily just take what's said on the news, because depending on the network, it may or may not be credible depending on the source. There's a framing to news, obviously. Journalists write what they write. So if you don't trust any of that, read it for yourself. Have conversations with the people in your life, whether you agree or don't agree with what's happening right now. Don't wait until it's so bad that it's literally impacting your kitchen table. Start paying attention.
Agreed. Well,
we only have to all the other stupid ass executive orders, like the birthright citizenship. I'm sorry.
I mean,
you're born here. You're American. Got it.
Period. We are at a moment where I think that you really couldn't make any of this shit up.
Right.
And,
but it wasn't unpredictable. We knew it was going to be bad the second time around. Like Selena said, be more active in your community. This is a marathon, not a sprint. We will get through this. This is our country too. And we need to just start by being aware of what's going on, talking with people we know in our communities, and make an effort to actually engage in these conversations. And when you have the opportunity to vote, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Who you're
agreed.
Voting.
And
so if you vote for this, then hey, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, then make sure when you have the opportunity to make a different choice, you do.
Yeah, agreed. I think that is sound advice. And so we want to thank you all for joining Barely Partisan. And now that you've listened to our podcast, we want to bring you into our conversation to learn more, ask questions, or make suggestions for future episodes. Send us an email at the address listed in our show notes. And with that being said, keep your eyes and ears open, and agreeing with you, Shannon, make sure you're doing the research. Don't take everybody's word for their word.
Right.
But I will say, I think this president, you probably could take him for his words.
Yeah. Like Maya Angelou said, when people show you who they are, believe them.
The first time. So with that,
we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.